So we are doing a series on spiritual tectonic shift in America. If you're new today, I want to share to you again that we're going to talk about why there are so many religiously unaffiliated growth of population in this country. And we are not making it their fault. Okay, this is on us. So the sermon is on us. They are not following the Lord Jesus Christ because they are bad people, but it's rather on us because we're not loving, caring, being compassionate, and doing the things that the Lord commanded us to do. So this sermon is on us and how to reach people that are outside the wall. So today we are doing on leadership. But before we go there, I want to read a scripture for you. So in the scripture, it's when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is also in you. This is from 2 Timothy 1, 3, 5. Now, why I want to do this is because we're going to look at the different generations. Generations X, Y, Z, and the boomer, and also the silent generation. And I'm going to use this scripture to talk to us on that. Okay. So, as you know, according to the Pew Research there, just reminding again that there were 16% of our population that were not, none of the above, not affiliated to any religion, and then 23% in 2016. Now, if you go to Santa Clara, it's much higher. It's 46.44. And American Baptist Church is 1.4%. So we got a lot of work to do here. The exciting thing is we can grow. See? We can grow. We can share the love of God. So leadership. We're doing XYZ, baby boomers. We're going to look at this today. And one of the challenging thing for me as a leader of the church is leading four or more generations. So in our congregation, let's start from people that were born after 2012. They have no name yet, no label. It will come soon. Maybe the Alpha, but we don't know. But right under them, 95 to 2012, they're known as the Generation Z. Okay. Now, if you were born 1980 to 2000, well, we have to flip that. I didn't change that one, right? The X and Y, you can see the dates there. Okay. So Generation X is from 1965 to 1980. There's a mistake there. It's my mistake, I own it. Okay. And then Y and Z and the boomer. What is the big idea? Why are we doing this at the church? The big idea is that we want to engage with religiously unaffiliated. So you have heard the term millennials. You have heard it everywhere. You have heard the term millennials everywhere. These guys are very tech savvy. Okay? They're very tech savvy, and they use online and social connections. But there is a Generation Z. They are known as the digital natives. Because for Generation Y, you used an iPod. You're using MySpace, like Facebook, Twitter. But this generation Z, they were born into iPad and smartphones. These are truly the digital natives. Okay. And why I'm bringing this up is because it's important for us to know these things. Because the church resources are being poured into reaching millennials. Every books are written how we should reach the millennials. I'm not saying it's bad. But in my experience, working in the church, one of the things that I've realized and experienced is that the church is about a decade behind what is happening in the world. Okay? So let me give you an example. Let me give you an example here. Now, when the church is concentrating on Generation Y, what are the world doing? So, I was reading an article on fashion and style, and by Alex William. Okay? Now, when the article was for the Y and the Z and fashion and style, and a lot of name came out, and for the Y is Mark Zuckerberg, okay, the man with the hoodie who made $1 billion when he was 23 years old. Okay, for young people, let's say like or the Miley Cyrus, the sweet Hannah Montana girl. It changed everything when she brought twerking into the world, right? You know the twerking there? Or Lena, the TV drama queen. These are the people that you don't know, right? But these young people, they know. Okay. So, what they're doing now is that these trendsetters, when we are concentrating on the millennials, what they are doing is that the market researchers, cultural observers, they are now shifting to the Generation Z. Because the Generation Z has more population in this country than the Generation Y, by a million. And if you want to follow young people, you follow music and clothes and fashions, okay? And pop cultures. So the Women's Wear Daily, they wrote this. It says that the weight of saving the world and fixing our past mistakes is on their small shoulders. Who? Generation Z. The twins and the teens and young adults. The market trendsetters, the cultural observers, and researchers are focusing on Generation Z and saying all the mistakes that we have made in the past are going to rest on their shoulder. And they're pouring on resources and zooming in on them. The question that I want to ask our church is, when the market researcher, trendsetters, cultural observers are really focusing now on the twins, the teens, and the young adults, do we give the same value to the twins and the teens and the young adults like the market trendsetters? For them, it's an economic boom here. But in the church, are we astute observer like them to see that we are going to focus and give our resource on these twins and the teens and the young adults? For them, this generation is going to be the one that is going to save all their mistakes that they have committed before. And the fashion and the styles and the clothes. It's very interesting, my friends. It's very interesting. You know, Dan Schobel, the millennial branding, the New York consultant, you know what he says? He says to the people that want to work together, we tell our partners if they don't communicate in 5 words and a big picture, they will not reach this generation. Right? 5 words and a big picture. This is a consultancy group on branding. Here I'm struggling to cut short my 60-minute sermon into 30 minutes. Right? 5 words and 6 seconds. And where are they watching? 6 seconds, wine tubes. Right? Big words. How many of you remember our mission statement in this church? Do you know our mission statement? I want you to think about those things. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why? Because that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to the children. We want our children to know God, that the children that are not yet born will know about God, and they will also tell about God to their children. That is the goal. This is why we're doing the leader shift here. This is why we're doing the leader shift here. See, for us, for many of us, and I'm going to make a plea to you guys later on, but think about this. For this generation, for Generation Z, it's not a big deal for them that we have the first African-American president, right? For me, it was a big deal. Maybe for you too, because you've never seen one. For this guy, they were born into it, right? In fact, if you say, hey, we have the first black president in America, they're going to look at you and turn right at you and say, you're racist, right? Because you use the word black. You got to use the word African-American. They were born in diversity. For you guys, the fall of the wall of Berlin, big deal. Big deal, not for them. Not that it wasn't a great event. No, not for them. It was a thing of the past. You can see this generation, how it is shaped here. We have to understand what we minister to people. Things that are so big deal for you is not for them. They were born into it. They were born in diversity. They were born in this multicultural settings and contexts. But we want the generation that is coming to know about God and how to reach them. How to reach them. This is the reason why I want to ask and appeal to our older members. Maybe the X and the boomers. We have the same goal, isn't it? You have walked the talk. Your faith is strong and secure. You know the law of God. You have faith. But these kids do not. This young generation do not. So what do we have to do? What I'm asking you to do is to sacrifice a little more than the younger generations. I want you to sacrifice a little more so we can reach the younger generation, because our goal are the same. Our goal is the same. We want them to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want those young people that come to the church, we want to reach them and retain them within the big family of God. Do you agree? Yeah. Do I hear a yes? Do I hear a win? Okay. So what I'm asking is, if we are going to do that, okay, then we might have to sacrifice a little bit more of the hymns that we love to sing. Because the young people are touched and connected by some of the contemporary songs. So we sacrifice a little to reach these young people by singing and doing things that might touch their heart so we can reach them and retain them into the church. It also means that you may not hear the traditional, conventional preaching, sermon, Bible teaching that you have heard many years ago. Because even though we are giving the same message, we have to package it a little differently. Before, you could sit an hour and listen to the lecture and the sermon of the pastor and no complaint. Right? Now, I'm watching out for my young people sitting in the front row and the two front row here. If I preach to them 1 hour, it's not going to go in there. their attention span is a little different. The story that I tell, the song that I sing, the illustration that I bring may not be like you were used to. Like you were used to. For example, last week I talked about my wife, right? And it's all about the bass, okay? And I have many interesting feedback and comments because of that comment, all right? All right. So, why I use that example, I'm going to tell you now. So this song is about the bass, is written by Meghan Trainor. Okay? It's the number one hit song. It's all about the bass, no trouble. You right? Okay. Don't let me get into it. I'm swayed by it. When she was growing up, she struggled with weight issues. Right? She struggled with weight issues. Now, many of us sitting here or standing here struggle with weight issues. It hit the self-esteem of people that are struggling with weight issues. And she wrote the song, It's All About the Bass. See, the bottom of the bass is what? Thick and big. If you look at the bass top, it's small and slender. It's all about the bass. But when she wrote this song, she's saying, do not worry about what you look like. You may be a little thick, you may be a little heavy, but be who you are. Be who you are. Do not let anybody look down on you. Value yourself. Value yourself as a person. Right? It's all about the bass. So, if I love my wife, just as she is, isn't that a sermon? Isn't that a sermon? Love your wife as Christ loves the church. It's all about the base. So when I say it's all about the base, maybe to the boomers or the silent generation, it may not hit you, but it will hit the Y and the Z like this. Oh, Meghan Trainor, I love it. But the message is there. So the conventional sermon and the traditional sermon that you used to hear, it may be a little different because there is a little leader shift. Because we want to reach to the people that are radically changed by culture and society with a radical message. So are you with me this morning? Yeah? All right. Okay. I can see thumbs up there. Okay, we're doing good. So this is a daunting challenge, right? Now, if our young people are hearing from, let's say, Meghan Trainor, Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, or Taylor Swift, and getting the message from them, or let's say from Jay-Z, Kanye, Future, or Drake, right? And they're getting the message from them all the time. And they're talking about the weight issue, they're talking about sex, drugs, dating, marriage. Why can't they hear it from me? Why? Do you trust the soul of your daughter's son and niece or grandchildren? Are you willing to entrust to somebody that you don't know? I want my sons and daughter to hear about weight issues from here, from my mouth. I want them to hear about sex, drugs, and premarital sex from here. And I don't want you to feel like, wow, this is sacrilegious. Pastor speaks this from the pulpit. Where will I speak from? What will be the platform to shape this life? Isn't this a great place? So you guys may not talked about that 35, 40 years ago. It is everywhere. It's coming at the speed of light. The moment they open their eyes, it's coming at them. It's coming at them at the speed of light. We got to do something. You're going to hear sermons that are a little different than they're used to hear. Because I care for these young people that are sitting here in front. And I want you to care for them. And I want you to make a little bit of a sacrifice for their sake. So it's a little loud and cranky here. You know, and your pastor's jumping here and there. It's not, It's because I'm trying to impress them. But we do that by respecting all generations, because each generation have set values, practices, and set beliefs. It doesn't mean that the Y and the Z should disrespect the generation X and the boomer. This should be done with mutual respect for all the generations that are here in this church. We are not going to overlook one generation and trying to lift up another generation. We have to balance it and do it all together. Do it all together. This is leadership of leading more than four generations. So there is a radical shift in the religious landscape here. So in the religious landscape, let's say the boomer and the silent, what do they want to do? What is the most important thing for them? For them, the sermon, communion, and traditional worship valued most. You do a survey in America, right? What is it? Sermon, communion, and traditional service. For the Generation X, which is my generation, it is the sermon, contemporary worship, and you know what? Children and youth ministry. Children and youth ministry. For Generation Y, the millennials, the contemporary worship, the sermon, and they want their gifts to be used. That's very important. They want to be used in the church. So you see the progression of the change? And for Generation Z that is coming, do you know that they're socially and morally more conservative than the millennials? It's surprising to me. They are morally and socially more conservative than their older siblings. If as a pastor, as a worship leader, as a Sunday school teacher, as a youth teacher, if you don't see these trends, you're going to just minister from where you are and where you have been, not knowing the trend, not knowing where they're going. We need to read them and understand them. So we talk about 9/11, we talk about Berlin Wall, we talk about this first African-American president, and it's so meaningful to us, it may not be to them. Your theology should not be based on those things. And you're trying to push down from your period of where you were born into a new generation, and they're not connecting to it because they didn't live that. They're living in different generation. We have to make that shift. In a family landscape, you have heard about stay-at-home mom long time ago. But it's not new to hear about stay-at-home dad now today. Men are not the only bread earner in the family. It is not a no-no or any embarrassing to have a dad stay at home and take care of their children or let his wife be the bread earner. No, it's a normal thing today. It may not be for you. It's a normal thing today. But you can also see that about 40% of the children in America are born out of wedlock. In 2016, in London, UK area, they say that more children will be born out of wedlock in United Kingdom than out of their marriage. You hear now single parenting increasing. You have this blended family, step-siblings, step-brothers, step-sisters. These things you didn't hear it before. The family landscape is changing, right? There are people that are not affiliated to any religion that they're bringing their own spirituality and mixing their individuality to come up with something that they will worship. And in the youth, the baby boomers were seekers. Right? The generation Y, instant gratification. And we call the Z iPod the iPad generation. The moment they get up there on their iPad, how do you reach them? How are you going to reach them? How are you going to reach with a lot of people that are playing Pokemon Go? You're going to stop them and say, hey, do you believe in Jesus? If you don't, you're going to go to hell. You know what they'll tell you? You go to And there's something we can learn from Lois. So coming back to 2 Timothy, Lois is the grandmother. Just take it as the boomer, okay? Very exciting. Lois was a devout Jew, a grandmother. And she taught her faith to her daughter, Eunice. So they live in Lystra, Derbe area. Okay, a little bit of background. Lystra, Derbe, the center of the god of Jupiter. And idolatry and sexual immorality was prevalent there. Okay, so have that picture in mind. So this Lois, the grandmother, has come out from a Jewish, Hebraic culture and live in Lystra and Derbe in this idolatrous, very immoral society. And now she is teaching the faith to her daughter. Okay? The older generation. It will be interesting for you to know that Eunice married a Greek. And it's a no-no for a Jew to marry a Greek. What does it mean? It might have been that Lois and her husband must have been disappointed with her, with that marriage. Oh, I do not support your marriage. I'll kick you out of the house if you marry this guy. There's no relationship. It's over. Like many people say that. But she might have been disappointed, but she didn't discard her. You see that Lois is discipling her daughter Eunice. And Eunice is welcome into the family. Are we doing that? I'm asking the older generation. If somebody is not living up to your principle and your standard, do you easily give up on this younger generation and say, oh, this is hopeless generation, I don't want to do anything with them? Or are you training these younger people, even though they have made mistakes and have failed in their life, you are teaching them about the faith to be strong and secure and walk with the Lord God, just like Lois is doing with Eunice. When she met Paul, she became a Christian. So from a Jew, she told the Old Testament to her daughter. When she met Paul, she became a Christian, continued to teach that to Eunice. Let's come to Eunice. Here is a young woman who is married to another culture. Cross-culture marriage. People are looking at her, and she is not probably the favored daughter or daughter-in-law. Both sides, the Greek and the Jew, they may not like her. And she lived in this culture, in the Greek culture, worshiping idols, sexual immorality. And she's going to raise this biracial kid. And you think, and you tell me, oh, Pastor, the people in New Testament, they don't know how the world is today. I'm telling you, they have left it already. No, they did not have it easy. Eunice did not have it easy. In an idolatrous, immoral society, a cross-cultural wedding, a biracial kid she is going to reach. And what did she do? She taught her the faith. The Old Testament. And when Paul came, she became a follower of Jesus. And she continued to teach that to Timothy. That's the generation X. Boomer X. Let's come to Timothy. About 18 years old, 16 years old, when she became a believer. When he became a believer. The first time he met Paul. But this mother, married in cross-cultural setting, maybe not so popular. And now Timothy is growing up as a biracial kid. He's neither Greek nor Jew. If he goes along with the Jew will be saying, oh, you're kind of, you know, you're half here. And the Greek side, no, you're partly a Jew. This guy's having problem fitting in the society. You think you had it tough, young people? Hey, young people, are you with me this morning? Yeah? Give me a who. Yes. I want you to listen to this. You think you have a tough life? No, Timothy had a tough life. At least you're not forced to worship an idol here in this country. You're not eating the food that are sacrificed to the temple, to the goddess. And this biracial kid, in a cross-cultural setting, where the world is much stronger than the faith that you live right now, he became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the grandmother taught and the mother taught. And then this guy, Paul, came along. And he gave his life to Christ. My challenge to you is, who is going to be the Paul? Who is going to be the Paul for the boomer? Who is going to be the Paul for the Generation X? Who is going to be the Paul for Generation Y and Z and the Alpha generation that is coming? Paul was a Greek and a Jew. He studied culture. He knew culture. He used culture to reach them. He did not criticize culture. I'm telling you, if we criticize generation and culture, we will never be able to reach them. If you keep on criticizing the young people of what they like, what they wear, what they eat, where they go, you're not going to reach them. Criticizing does not lead to a good, hospitable environment. Find ways to reach them. Find ways to reach them. Not be angry and upset at them because of the songs that they sing. If you're upset here sitting in a worship service because we're not singing a lot of the songs that you want to sing, whether you like contemporary, and when we sing hymns, why do we sing hymns? And when we sing hymns, and you'll say, why do we sing choruses? And you're sitting here angry or upset at the things that are happening because we are sharing. What would be the result of it? You got to respect elders, young people. And then young people love the younger generation. Amen. Then we can grow together. It is very hard for me to lead four or more generations. Don't you think it's hard for me? I'm trying to find answers and solutions for the church. You're leading five generations. Every generation has different sets and values and likes and dislikes. And we're all people with hundreds of opinions. But I keep at it. I go at it. I keep getting at it. Because I want to see the Church of Christ being established in the city that needs Him, that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. So I keep at it. This Friday prayer meeting, I asked my boys to take a pen and a paper and asked them to write down my schedule from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And they wrote down 7 to 7:30, 8 to 8:30. At the end of 9 p.m., when we were praying, I asked them to say, how many hours did I get a rest on that day? And they calculated, I have 1.5 hour rest. That includes dinner time. The rest of the time I can account it for. And that's not an anomaly. Most of the days are like that. My time, my minutes are not idle. It can be accounted for. Minutes by minutes, hour by hour, it can be accounted for. And I worked in 14 hours. In that 14 hours, I worked 12 and a half hours for my family, for the church, and for the kingdom of God. Why do I do that? Because you want to keep at it. You want to go at it, even if you don't have the solution and answers. You want to keep trying and going at it to find an answer and solution for the sickness that we have in the city and the community. We got to care. We got to care for each generation. Unless we have this shift in our heart as leaders, we're not going to see the shift in the culture. This is on us. This is not for outsiders. This is for us. We have to have this leadership in order to reach people. Lois led her daughter Eunice. Eunice led her son Timothy. Timothy led the church, and Paul led all of them. This has to happen. This has to happen. Are you leading your daughters? Are you leading your sons? Your daughter is not too old to be led. If you're a boomer, I'm telling you, she may be 60 years old, 50 years old. Your daughter is not too old to be led. She's looking for leadership. Your son is not too old to be led. He is looking for leadership. Your children are looking for leadership. Who is there to lead? Who is there to lead? Look to God to lead. God led Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, different times, different setting. But he led them all. There are many other stories you can add the name. Look to God to lead. He's great. Look to Jesus to lead. Jesus interacted with the Jews, the Romans, Samaritans, and Christians at the same time. And he was still relevant and engaging to all these people at the same time. Different people, cross-cultural setting, same message. Package it differently. Look to the Holy Spirit to lead. The Holy Spirit led the church in Jerusalem, in Antioch, in Athens, and in Rome. Same message, packaged it differently. I can't speak to Rome like I speak to the people in Jerusalem. We can't have the same message for First Baptist Santa Clara, First Baptist Church, and the one that are outside in the park, on the street, in the bar. Yes, you can go to the bar. I give you permission. Don't get drunk, but meet somebody. Why should the bar manager be the only one to hear all the sorrows and the woes of people that come there? Aren't we called to do that? It's not sacrilegious. When the disciples saw Jesus with Samaritan woman, they said, "Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. What are you doing with this woman? No, 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 we don't do that." Who is going to be with her then? Who is going to be with her? I hope you're not upset because I talk about the base. But we'll talk about it. The pop stars, pro athletes, people that don't know the Lord. Should they be the one that get the message from them? I want to end with this story. I'm going to call the worship team and Sharon to come up. She's going to lead us in prayer today. I want the Holy Spirit of God to melt our hearts. When I was in Chicago, in Illinois, I was preaching. That morning, there was these three young girls that I have never seen. You know? And after the sermon, I don't know why, but I asked for people to come. It wasn't like the well, prayer for the well. It was different, just coming to the front. And I closed my eyes and I was standing and praying. And you know, if you feel like you need a reinforcement, re-energize, or you want to commit yourself to God and start again, just come to the front. I want to pray with you. I opened my eyes and there were these three young girls. And I'm as surprised as I was. I mean, they were in maybe young 20s. And they were crying and sobbing like anything. I went to each of them and say, "How can I pray for you?" Say, "I want God to heal me. I want to start afresh." I prayed and I prayed. And I said to the three girls, "Oh, I'll come and see you guys where we are. Continue to pray." And they look at me wide-eyed and say, "Really? You will come to our workplace?" I think they work at casino. Probably they were dancers. And they were surprised that I will come there. All men go there. Not all men. Many men go there to watch people dance. Throw away their money. Looking at them. Not as a person that has heaven in the eyes. No. With sin. Property. Who is going to say to them, "You are God's creature"? Is it so hard for Christian to go into those places at brothels and strips and clubs and say, God loves you. They are not there by their choice. If you talk to them, many of them are not there by their choice. They're there to earn bread for their sons and daughters that are left behind in the apartment. But we treat them as disease. We treat them as disease. It's like, no, don't come near me. We cannot be religious people like the religious people in New Testament that questions everything that Jesus did. He was a radical leader with a radical message and radical love. If we have to see this city change, we got to follow this radical leader with a radical message and showing a radical love. Can we do that? Can we shift the balance? Are we ready to shift the balance?